This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by Manscaped. Hey folks, it's Jake Miller from The Drive, and Manscaped is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped's Performance Package, the ultimate men's hygiene bundle. Join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code 20DRIVE. That's 20DRIVE at manscaped.com. And if my math is correct, that's about 8 million balls.
It's time for The Drive's Top 5 at 5.
Quitting time on your Friday. Congratulations, you have made it. Another weekend is here, and it's time for your Top 5 at 5, presented by National RX, where we broadcast live from this afternoon, 11-134 Kingston Pike in Farragut. Here once again is Jake Miller.
Thank you, Russell. Up first, Tennessee is slated to play LSU tonight at approximately 9 o'clock on the SEC Network. A crucial game for Tennessee, as they do not want to play two games tomorrow. Was good to see Grant Williams donning the Tennessee orange, talking that trash.
Representing, and he's got a big game six tonight as well, but Tennessee fans, eyes on Hoover tonight. Chase Dolander
Hoover.
For the Volunteers. Do we know anything about LSU's pitching situation yet?
Marcus?
I think I saw it, actually.
Someone Marcus thinks it. He saw it, Russ.
Hold on, give me 1 second. I'll be with you in a moment.
I bet I find it before Marcus. Go ahead, Jake.
All right, up next to number two, NBA playoff action tonight. Game six of the Eastern Conference Finals. Miami will take on Boston in the Garden at 8:30 on ESPN. Boston enters as an 8.5-point favorite. This is right. They're not going back to Miami.
What do you think about T. Fair saying it don't matter, and whoever wins this series is just a sacrificial lamb for the Warriors in the finals?
I mean, I can see the logic behind it. I mean, the Heat and the Celtics have beaten the heck out of each other, and the Celtics had to go – I mean, it went seven games to the Bucks. Am I wrong on that?
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm worried, you know, because, I mean, hell, it's like I've been saying, the Warriors took care of business last night, and they're at home. So, Boston really needs to close this one out tonight, I think.
I just think, and assuming Boston wins, I look at the Warriors, and they're no doubt – playing a different game right now, but look at the last two teams they've beaten. Both the Mavs and the Grizzlies have kind of been one-man shows. They've been teams that are dominated almost exclusively by one player. It's not going to be the case if they take on the Boston Celtics. And I think between, you know, Tatum and Brown and all the role players, I think that'll be a really good series. Could be wrong, but I think that Boston is much better equipped to go at them than either Dallas or Memphis was.
Oh, absolutely. And there's a lot of stuff that, you know, Draymond can do against certain teams. He's going to have a really hard time doing that, some of his antics against Boston or Miami. Those are tough teams.
You look forward to seeing Grant Williams match up against Draymond a little bit?
Yeah. Because like Terry said, I mean, that guy's solid, dude. I mean, he's not going to – and he's made of a little bit stiffer stuff than that. I can't remember which guy it was in the last series where Draymond basically hooked him under the arm and then, like, pretty much power bombed him on the floor. So I don't see him doing that to Grant.
And number three, in a pointed letter to teams last week, Major League Baseball said numerous clubs fall embarrassingly below the standards necessary for women who are part of the game's traveling parties to do their jobs, create a, quote, untenable working environment, and that organizations soon must reconfigure their facilities to fix what the league deemed unacceptable.
Just a simple solution here. Just hire fewer women, huh? Am I right, guys? Am I right?
I didn't mean that
what?
sexist
what
remark.
They did not have proper restrooms or facilities, or?
I mean, are they talking about locker rooms? Like,
I don't know. That's bizarre to me, but take care of the ladies. Major League Baseball, come on, Lord knows you got enough money to make sure your facilities are well equipped. Come on, guys, let's get in the 21st century here. What are we doing?
Don't know what we're doing. But number four, Steph Curry was named the inaugural most valuable player of the Western Conference Finals.
They don't have an MVP award for that traditionally?
Is this the Larry Bird Magic Johnson deal? Or is this something completely different from that?
That I'm not sure. I didn't realize that there was an MVP for the conference finals.
I mean, he was definitely it. I mean, he's on another level, as they say.
Still, he's been going strong for, what, 10 years now?
Yeah. Came back from an injury, and they're back in the final. I think it's the sixth time they've been in the final since 2015.
Team that was built, not bought.
Yeah, and, you know, they could have torn it down after the injuries to Steph and Klay Thompson, and they didn't. They stuck with it and brought these guys back and kept drafting and kept adding guys. And, I mean, they had a very impressive run. I'm not going to call them a dynasty just yet, but if they win this year, they might be a little bit of a dynasty.
They're getting there. At number five, a California man put his love of spicy food to the limit when he broke a Guinness World Record by downing three Carolina Reaper chili peppers in 8.72 seconds. Gregory Foster took on the record for the fastest time to eat three Carolina Reaper chilies at the Seaport Shopping Center in downtown San Diego and ended up eating six of the super hot peppers when his first attempt was disqualified.
Mmm.
I love spicy food. There is absolutely no way.
Yeah.
No way in the world I could do that.
No, I just doesn't look like a fun time to me.
Yeah, I saw a video on that Adam Richman, the guy who used to do Man versus Food.
Yeah, yes. The guy who, like, by the end of the second season of that, looked like he was on death's doorstep. You're like, oh, man, they got to get this guy a new job, or he's going to be a goner.
It was going to kill him. So I watched a video on him. He had eaten those. Some kind of hellfire challenge where, I mean, it was Carolina Reaper pepper wings, and they were just coated in the sauce, and it was awful. No, thank you.
See, I'm a fan of, you know, stuff like that, like really hot wings. But when it gets to the point where I can't even taste the chicken and your tongue's just going numb, that just ruins it. And I don't want any more.
Now, I have had the Grim Reaper at Craven Wings, and
to live up to the billing.
Yeah, it's beyond what I wouldn't get it again. But I mean, if that's what y'all want, you can have that. They've got that there is pretty high. I'll stick with the Sauce 87.
No, it's clutch.
What's is the Reaper is that their hottest one?
Yeah, I don't know if it's from a Carolina Reaper pepper, if it's a derivative of that, but
it's the Reaper.
Yeah. I had one of those, and I was good.
Yeah. That stuff's just crazy. I
don't need a whole batch of those bad boys.
Yeah. I've got friends that eat crazy spicy stuff like that, but I wouldn't.
Check out Craven Wings. They sponsor Terry's appearances here every week on The Drive. Two locations to serve you. The original on Chapman Highway, Seymour. It, of course, out west, South North Shore Drive at the Markets of Chodo. You're looking for something to eat with Tennessee baseball tonight, some delicious chicken wings. Make it Craven Wings. You can order online at cravenwings.com. Get it delivered. Go pick it up. Whatever you do, let them know you heard about it right here on Fan Run Radio. cravenwings.com, best chicken wings in East Tennessee. All right, we're going to go open lines the rest of the way here, 865-546-8200. And Jake Miller he's bouncing over here because this is the last time we're going to see Jake for a while. He's taken a week off, and then he's starting a new project here at Fan Run Radio that we're going to tell you about later. But Jake has a little summer vacay coming up next week, and then he's going to be telling us about his new project here at Fan Run Radio. So, Jake, congratulations. Are you going anywhere next week, or is it a staycation? Like, what are you doing?
I'm pretty much just sit down, prepare for the project, man. You know, sit at home, spend some time with the fiance and the dog, get some stuff done at work that I need to get done,
I keep forgetting you're engaged to be married now. Have you guys set a date?
Oh no, we're just gonna get eloped.
Get eloped?
Really?
Oh, all the people that
we're gonna do you get eloped? I thought you no, mean elope you, as in a verb, not yeah. get eloped.
However you do it,
you're gonna
elope.
Okay, you're gonna get eloped.
Oh yeah, there's too many people that I don't want to see at this wedding that would have to be invited.
Wow. Yeah.
The
Campbell County family is that could be a potentially flammable situation.
I must say I'm disappointed because I would have looked forward to because I know all your buddies. And we're talking about Weston
wedding. I mean, what does that say about our staff that like we've been together 5 or 6 years now doing this thing and like nobody.
Hey, to be fair, we have the property to do it at the station.
Yeah.
How romantic getting married
underneath the shadow of the studios transmitter.
Have the divorce attorney on file.
Wow.
That'd be bad.
No, she's not listening.
Could have a double wedding. Chance has got one coming up soon as well.
How about that?
The fan-run wedding venue. Get married by the creek.
We'll go open lines the rest of the way here. If you want to jump in, 865-546-8200, your number, as it'll be a late start tonight for the baseballs in Hoover. Looking forward to it. By the way, shout out to MKGlory9 on Twitter, who is a beach listener. He's at the beach this week. I always love the, like, hey, man, appreciate you. I don't understand it. I'm glad that we're entertaining, that we amuse you. But folks who always get these pictures of people listening on the beach, I'm just like, man.
I'd be in the ocean.
That's a dedicated Fan Run Radio listener right there. MKGlory9. Hoping to drink from the keg of glory one more time this evening as Tennessee takes on LSU tonight in a game of college baseball down there in Birmingham. Winner will have to play one game tomorrow with a chance. Starting tomorrow, it's all single elimination. Winner go home. And Tennessee, if they win tonight, and win tomorrow, is on to the championship series. Win tonight, lose tomorrow, you go home. Lose tonight, you play again tomorrow. In the loser's bracket, if you win tomorrow, you would play again tomorrow, presumably against LSU. So to get to the Sunday, we're going to have to go through LSU one way or another. Might as well do it tonight.
Yeah, let's take care of business. We do not want to play two games tomorrow.
Save yourself a lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I do have some information for you, Russ.
Good, because I was looking for that, and nothing on utsports.com. What do we got here?
So what I've got here is from Leah Van, who is a beat writer for LSU baseball and football.
Mm-hmm.
She has a quote from Jay Johnson, which is, "In the whole postseason, we're not going to announce our starter until 90 minutes before the game, just so you guys are prepared for that."
His card's close to the vest.
Seems like he has no desire to reveal that information to us.
What's the Jags lady say? What is it she says?
Paranoid SEC baseball coach.
Just been following the rules. Laying low.
Can't have a newcomer come in and
steal the show. Yeah, we got to win tonight, man. I'm looking forward to it, man. It's going to be a great game. LSU, Tennessee, 9 o'clock start time.
Would you – somebody had asked me this on Twitter earlier, and I'll just paraphrase. Would you consider – Honcho goes 0 for 4 last night.
Right.
Do you consider shaking up the batting order, the lineup?
I thought about that last night, and I never could figure out whether or not I would do that if I were Vitello. I don't know.
I'm not. If it's me, I'm leaving it as is, just because, A, we need him. you're not going to replace him in right field. The worst you would do is move him down in the batting order. And B, you know, what does that do to his psyche? And I read Vitello's comments last night about he's actually been more productive than the stats would indicate. I kind of look at that as Vitello not wanting to criticize him publicly.
I mean, for the most part, I'm trying to remember last night. He's not doing that for a minute there. It was like he was going up, swinging on first pitch, fly ball out. And a lot of our success has been predicated on, you know, working the hell out of pitchers, making them work for it. And I can't remember, was it Ortega who had the 15 pitch exchange? Was that last night? Yeah, it was last night. And then the guy ended up walking him. So the other thing to think about is when you shake up the roster like that, like almost everybody else isn't in a slump. And do you really want to go moving things around in your order and risk upsetting the apple cart with guys that are really in the zone right now batting?
Yeah, I think that I would just leave it as is for right now, and you just got to hope he breaks out of it. And I just wonder if he's been in the three hole all year long, and I just wonder if you move him down, if it would crush his psyche a little bit. But it's not like the bottom of our order is – I mean, where do you – I don't know what you do.
Who bats ninth? Lawson?
Yeah, and he launched one last night. I mean, he's –
that thing achieved exit velocity. It left the earth. That's your nine-hole hitter.
Well, think about this. And I think Burke said this during the Mississippi State game. Think about this. Evan Russell is one home run away, I believe, from either tying or breaking the all-time Tennessee school home run record for a career. And – against righties, he hits eighth. I mean, think about that. Your all-time home run leader hits eighth.
Well, somebody's right behind him.
That's how deep that lineup is right now.
Is it Lipschitz?
Do what?
Somebody else is at right below him in Todd Helton. As far as the home run record goes, I'm pretty sure.
Blake Burke is going to be there. I have a prediction.
Yeah.
In 2 years from now.
The Tank. That guy's he's scary.
Opposite field last night. Oh, man, what a beautiful swing.
He's got it.
Stay with us. The Drive continues live this afternoon at National Law Rex in Farragut. We're going to take a quick break right here. We're back with more right after this. All right, it is time for The Docket, brought to you by Fox and Farmer, the Car Wreck Pro Attorneys. And we have an update on the Kansas Wesleyan baseball
water poisoner.
The paint thinner in the water bucket.
Yeah. A 12-year-old boy has been charged in connection with contamination of a water cooler used by a small college baseball team in Kansas. The boy was charged with endangerment and criminal damage to property for allegedly pouring paint into Kansas Wesleyan's water cooler during a doubleheader against Bethany College in Lindsberg, Kansas, on April the 24th. The summons will be issued for the juvenile to appear in court. Authorities haven't said if any Kansas Wesleyan players or staff drank the contaminated water or became ill, but both schools did contact police to report a foreign substance later identified as paint.
It looked pretty nasty down in that water.
Yeah, it was the paint they used to put the lines on the field. Some kid poured it in the water.
12-year-old.
That young man will be learning a valuable lesson, I would say.
One would hope. He needs to have a mental health eval.
What if I put paint in a water cooler?
Son.
I wouldn't see the light of day for at least 2 months.
They'd be going straight to a counseling. That's a pretty big warning sign right there.
Meanwhile, here in Knoxville, police are searching for a man who employees said broke into their tap room's fenced-in smoker overnight to cook a steak.
He was hungry.
Gypsy Cyrus Cider Company said the break-in happened at its Barrel House tap room on Lamar Street around 11 p.m. Wednesday, saying the Hamburglar damaged their fence in the process. Employees said they arrived Thursday morning to find the charred remnants of a steak that had been left on the smoker, saying they checked security video to find the incident had been caught on camera. In the video, a man could be seen breaking into the fence, apparently just to cook a steak.
But he forgot about it and just left it on the grill or on the smoker?
Employees said the man then returned after midnight to check on it. Gypsy Circus turned the video over to police, saying KPD is investigating as an incident of vandalism. And, yeah, I guess he...
The Phantom Griller.
He put it on the smoker. And can you smoke a steak?
You can grill it. You can't just throw it on there and walk away from it.
He did. And he came back, and I guess it wasn't done to his liking, so he just left it there.
Imagine he burn it.
I mean, he likes it well done.
That's not something I've ever been interested in trying.
Smoking a steak?
Yeah. I just enjoy steaks too much. I just don't.
What's your favorite kind of steak, Bear?
My favorite?
Mm-hmm.
Probably filet, like a good New York strip.
Yeah.
Porterhouse, a little too much work.
I'm hashtag team ribeye right here.
Yeah, I mean, there's a restaurant in town that has a mean Hawaiian ribeye that I really like a lot.
I know it's unhealthy. I know it's a lot of fat, but you give me a nice ribeye steak.
Great.
Medium rare to medium in there, somewhere in there, a little pink in the middle. You give me one of those, and you can call me uncivilized. You can call me redneck, whatever you want. Give me a little... Not much. I don't want to slather it, but just a little dab. Just a little dab of Heinz 57 sauce. Oh, yeah.
I put a little pat of butter on mine.
Butter on the steak?
Yeah, a little, you know, like the little squares like you get in the restaurant, you butter your roll with. It's like a pat of butter. Yeah, especially a strip.
Yes. What do you think, Miller?
I don't know, which I'm a filet guy, but my second favorite, and some will be shocked, some might not, cube steak.
Like ground beef, chuck steak?
No.
Cube steak. What is cube steak? I'm blanking here.
It's a really tough cut of meat that they absolutely pulverize with a meat hammer. Some people love it. My kid likes it a lot. I hate it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I hate that. Is it country fried steak? Or
that's what same cut for that.
My mom used to make that.
I
love mom's cooking, but that was not one of my favorites. There was always some... like grizzle in there.
It's just, from a texture standpoint, it just
I mean, if you I would probably eat it for nostalgia, but that's not one I want in my regular meal rotation.
We gotta know how to make it.
How do you make it?
Use some cinnamon and my regular seasonings, pound it out really really hard, and then throw in the fryer. Air fryer. Air fry it.
I would have said cast iron with some salt and some pepper, but
if it's going in the cast iron, you're using bacon grease to fry it.
Yeah, it's the only thing to make it edible.
Just put mine on the Weber grill. Real hot. Flip that bad boy once. Let it cool. Juices congeal. Are you with me on the Heinz 57 sauce, Bear, or is that uncivilized? Is that like
it all just depends. I mean, I'm not going to do it if I've gone to and splurged and got a really good steak from a really good butcher shop or anything. But
well, I always do. Sometimes I get like ashamed, like if I'm at not even a nice place, but like even if I'm just at like Aubrey's or something, and I get a ribeye, it's like, man, are they gonna think less of me?
you got anyone, they probably would. Or if you put ketchup on it, they would definitely.
It's not less of you, but you will. Yeah, sometimes a word would filter back.
Yeah.
To the kitchen, be like, hey,
we got a 57 guy on here. Oh, steak's not good enough.
Yeah. If you've been on a grill for like 4.5-5 hours during the summer, and you put your all into that, you know, making sure that steak's cooked perfectly for a guest, and then, you know, you look out there and Russ is out there with a bottle of, what is it, Heinz 57?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little insulting, to tell you the truth, Russ. A little salt, a little crack back pepper, and maybe a little bit of garlic. That's all you need.
All right. That is the docket, brought to you by Fox and Farmer, the car wreck pro attorneys. Over 100 years combined experience at Fox and Farmer, helping East Tennesseans just like you get the injury settlements they deserve. If you've been injured in a car accident and need legal representation, give them a call today to set up a free consultation. That's right, free consultation. They'll discuss your case, answer any questions you may have, and it won't cost you a dime, because at Fox and Farmer, they don't get paid unless you get paid. What do you have to lose? Call today and set up a free free no-obligation consultation at 865-531-9400, 531-9400, online at foxandfarmer.com. We get set to go back to the phone lines here on The Drive, and Roberto is next. Good afternoon, Roberto.
Afternoon, gentlemen.
How's it going?
It's great. You know, I kind of feel for the guy in the police report there. If you guys have never had a reverse seared steak, which is smoked and then seared, you're missing out on some goodness there. It's really great.
Smoke it and then sear it.
So you cook it from the inside out, right? So
is that something I have to do myself, or is there an establishment here in town that'll do that for me?
It's G.I. Jake's Kitchen. They'll do it for you.
You gotta have a place that has a proper smoker, and then usually what I do is I don't usually do it on the grill. Some people do it on the grill, but I'll take cast iron and I'll get as Bear said, a big pat of butter in there with a little garlic, a little salt and black pepper, and then you sear it for as hot as you can get it, like 750 to 800 degrees on the pan is where you want it. You want it as smoking hot as possible, and it's literally just slap it, turn it, slap it, and you're done. And that's where it's at. Because it gets that last bit. Because you said you like ribeyes, right, Russ? Is that what you said?
Oh yeah,
it renders that fat really well for you there on that last sear. So there you have it, gentlemen. Don't sleep on it. It's actually the way to cook a steak. So, guys, we're gonna win tonight, I guess. You know, and if we don't, I sided with Bear yesterday. Like, I'd just rather get out, then. If we're not gonna win this whole thing, let's just get out. But now that we're – I mean, it's pretty obvious we're playing Kentucky if we win, right? No, I guess they would play the loser of our game. Isn't that correct? I take that back. Right?
How did the Vandy-Kentucky game end up, boys?
Kentucky's up 10-2 last time I checked.
Yeah, I mean, they're getting the barrel job down in Hoover. Vanderbilt's going home. They'll be back in Franklin tonight.
If we win tonight, we would play the winner of Game 14 tomorrow, which is the winner of Game 10 versus the loser of Game 12. So it would be either the winner of this Vanderbilt-Kentucky game or the loser of Tennessee-LSU, which obviously I don't know. I just confused myself. But just win tonight, Roberto.
Too.
Just win, and we will play – the winner of the LSU game against the winner of this game between Vandy and Kentucky.
So ultimately, again, I guess that would be tomorrow as well, since it's Saturday. So that means whoever loses tonight has a doubleheader tomorrow if they were to win the next game.
Yeah,
so, correct.
Yeah, that's not ideal, especially for us. You want Kentucky to have to keep earning
it. We mentioned your call to our spaces last night earlier, Roberto. Like, if you're Tennessee, first of all, you don't want to – you're in a perfect position right now, because if you win tonight, you've got Beam and Burns to go the rest of the way, and then you're done. If you lose tonight, you're probably pitching both of them tomorrow, assuming you win the first game. And then what do you do in that last game? And as you pointed out last night, Roberto, what do you do at catcher? Are you going to put Evan Russell out there to catch for 6 hours in the Alabama sun? I mean, they might. Maybe we're making too big a deal of it, but that seems awfully draining to me.
For me, and this is where the rub happens, and I kept forgetting the young man. Charlie Taylor is the backup catcher's name. You know, it's not an automatic L if you throw him out there, and he's a decent defensive catcher, and he can, you know, he's a backstop, but he cannot hit. And I just say at this point, you know, tomorrow, no matter what, if you lose tonight, if that were to happen, I do think we're going to win. But if you lose tonight, you trot him out there tomorrow in one of those two games. You probably the first game, and you just say,
yeah,
come what may. If we win, then we consider, you know, trying to make it to Sunday and then in the second game. If we lose, oh well. That's kind of where I'd be at. But I would not waste Evan Russell's knees for the rest of this weekend. It's just not that big a deal to me. Then again, you have a lot of people out there attacking people like me, which is okay too. Their belief is their belief that the SEC tournament is more important than winning a national championship to some of these clowns because they think the SEC is somehow that much more dominant than everybody else, which they are in baseball, that it equals a national championship, which it does not. So, guys, thanks for the time. I'm just really looking forward to the next. It feels like that lead up. This feels like the lead up to March Madness for me, and it's never felt that way before, and I'm so excited. Hopefully we can get to a regional game next week. Take care, guys.
Thank you, Roberto. 865-546-8200. If you want to chime in, 546-8200. Yeah, I mean, I would agree in the catcher dilemma there. I would give Taylor the start of the first game, and with the thought being, hey, man, if – well, the other school of thought, I suppose, is you go ahead and start Evan Russell, and then you ask him after the game, and he's going to tell you he can go. But maybe he's a college kid and he's a student athlete and well-conditioned to one at that, and you put him out there and let him go twice. Here's the thing, guys. This is – I wonder how much Vitello even thinks about this, because you know he's all in on winning tonight.
Yeah.
At which point, of course, that conversation is moot.
Mm-hmm.
But you do have to plan for all possibilities, don't you?
Oh, yeah, and I'm sure he does. That entire state. You think there's something that him and Frank Anderson and what's the other
Elander?
Yeah, Elander. That there's something that they, I mean, is buttoned down. You know, people get caught up in the, you know, the attitude and the fieriness of the team, but I mean, it's an incredibly well-run program. Yeah, I'm sure they're looking at stuff, not just this weekend, but you know, you have to be looking at things going into the regional next weekend. You got to manage your roster.
Mark on Twitter wants to know what Bear's alibi is. Can we confirm where he was Wednesday night? Bear, are you the Hamburglar? Do you have a firm alibi?
Yeah, I'm not breaking into some place over on Lamar to cook a steak. I've got a couple of grills at the house. I just grill it out on the back patio. Yeah, both. Actually, my gas one, I've got to get the line replaced. But, yeah, I've got a charcoal grill that works.
You know, I heard a lot of talking there. I heard a lot of words.
No, it was not me.
At no point did I hear an alibi.
Yeah, I've got a great one. I was on the air with you last night. Till late.
This happened Wednesday night in the wee hours of Thursday morning, Bear.
Wednesday night.
Continuing to obfuscate here.
What was that doing Wednesday night?
What were you doing? That's what we're asking you.
I wasn't putting a steak on a smoker because that sounds disgusting to me. It just doesn't sound like anything I'd like.
So you're declining to present an alibi. Okay.
But every time you send me up to Rickard Ridge, I always come back to smoked chicken thighs.
Very interesting.
Yeah. I like smoked chicken. And I like occasionally, like, you know, half a rack of ribs, but as far as like smoked steak, I know people do like bologna, like whole bolognas on them, all kinds of stuff.
Derek wants to know, would you have traded Vescovy for Tyrese Hunter's commitment today?
No.
I mean, Phil said Tyrese Hunter's a 27% three-point shooter.
I don't know, man. He lit up LSU. I'm going to say no, first of all, because you guys know I love Vescovy, but I mean, he was a pretty good player.
I mean, I'm not saying he's not a pretty good player. I'm just saying I'm not trading Vescovy for him. I'm not trading anybody on the current roster, including all the guys coming in for him.
Really?
No.
You wouldn't trade Urosh for him?
I mean, I might, but we're lacking depth at the post.
It's true.
You're being funny there.
I'm
who
not.
You who you trading for out of the guards that'll be on campus here in a few weeks?
I would trade Tyreek Key for him.
I'm not talking about Euros. Who on the perimeter?
I would trade Tyreek Key or Jefferson for Hunter. He's the Big 12 Freshman of the Year, man. Kid's a baller.
What do you got? I don't know.
19 points a game.
At arguably the most important position on the floor.
You trading Ziegler for him?
I can't trade Ziegler for anyone, Bear. I don't know that I would trade Ziegler for Steph Curry. I love that kid.
I'll put you on the spot. You going to trade Edwards for him?
Trade Justin Edwards or you mean Phillips?
No, you going to trade Julian B.J. Phillips? Edwards for who?
I don't know.
What do you mean
Hunter
you don't know?
Hunter is more of a proven commodity. We haven't seen B.J. Edwards play a minute of college basketball yet. I don't know. I mean, I'm tempted to say no, that I would keep B.J., but, I mean, you just never don't know until you see these kids play. What about you? I'm not even going to ask you, Bear, because we know what you would say, but you're biased. Tyrese Hunter or B.J. Edwards?
Tyrese Hunter.
No, you take Edwards.
I feel like this is kind of factoring into the question that Josh Pate asked about football. It's like, does it devalue recruiting coming out of high school? I'd go with a proven commodity.
Hunter.
Proven commodity. His proven commodity is he's a 27% three-point shooter. I don't know if you noticed. You guys noticed this last year, but we like to shoot a lot of three balls.
Okay, but he averaged what? 19?
11 points a game. I think you were mixing him up with the kid from K-State that went to Miami.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I wouldn't. I'm going to trade Ziegler, Vescovy, Edwards, or the other guys that we brought in.
Big 12 Freshman of the Year.
Yeah.
Pretty good player. It's a hard question, honestly. I don't know. I mean, at the end of the day, I just want the guy that makes Tennessee the best. So, your thoughts, 865-546-8200. Speak now, forever hold your peace. The shocking conclusion of the drive coming up next, live from National RX. Back to wrap things up right after this. All right, back here on the drive, it's Fan Run Radio. Russell, Bear, and Jake with you for one more segment. Shout out to Marcus Young helping out Bear back in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Overtime headed your way next on many of these fine Fan Run affiliates. That is a huge recruiting weekend for Josh Heupel, as by far the most amount of elite talent that he has had on campus in any sort of recruiting setting since he has been here. Tennessee will host three official visitors this weekend, including Bryson Sanders, an offensive lineman from the Baylor School down in the Chattanooga area. He is a four-star, 6'6", 278-pound prospect from Chattanooga. Tennessee and LSU thought to be the finalists there, so maybe about to wrap up some hot four-star action from Bryson Sanders this weekend. Another offensive lineman they really like, Lucas Simmons from Clearwater, Florida, taking an official visit to Tennessee. Long offensive prospect, 6'7", 300 pounds, according to Rivals. And then Vic Burley is in town this weekend. One of the top 50 or so players in the country, regardless of position, a four-star defensive end from Warner Robins, Georgia. And could Tennessee pluck a four-star defensive lineman out of Georgia? You would think the Bulldogs would be our main competition there, but it's actually Clemson, who is thought to be where Vic Burley is leaning. And this is a huge opportunity, maybe Tennessee's last opportunity to stop that momentum. And, you know, at one point he was thought to be a Tennessee lean. Clemson has kind of jumped in there and taken the onus on that one. But chance for Rodney Garner to work his magic. And the guys from Spire.
Put in the work.
Always be recruiting.
Lots of prospects in unofficially. Nico Iama-Pajama is back in town trying to tap that Polynesian pipeline. Jake, the Malagoa kid, is back as well?
That he is. And Rivals National Recruiting Director Adam Gorney has made the prediction he will become a Tennessee Vol.
Ooh.
Wow. Makes me happy.
He's borderline five-star.
Yeah. Let's get it cranked up.
He's a five-star according to Rivals. Only four-star.
Jerry brought up a really interesting point in the middle.
The Drive's policy, longstanding, we go with the recruiting service that ranks our recruits the highest. Rivals has in the number 19 player in the country, so that's pretty good.
Yeah. It's real good. Hope we get it.
Francis Mauigoa from IMG.
I mean, I've never really thought about it a whole lot until, you know, Terry brought it up. But that was a interesting point he made about, you know, the one thing Heupel does have that a bunch of guys that he's recruiting against don't is that he does have credibility. I mean, not only is he coached at a high level now, he's also, I mean, first and foremost, I mean, he's a baller. He played in big time games.
Do you think that resonates with recruits at all?
I do. When you're as successful as he was, I mean, he was in New York for the Heisman Trophy ceremony.
I was just talking about it. It's so long ago. I mean, like,
yeah, but you still got to these guys, even though there's a big age gap, they still respect that.
Well, I think they do, but I'm just saying we all remember Heupel, but none of these kids were even alive when he won the national championship at Oklahoma.
Well, no.
Think about that. Not only were they not following football, they weren't even live. So it's the equivalent of, like, I went to high school. My senior year of high school was 1997. So it would be like you're talking about whoever won the Heisman Trophy.
Like when Tony Dorsett won it.
In, like, the late 70s for me.
Yeah, but times have changed, and they can, within 10 seconds on their phone, pull up a video on YouTube of back when Heupel was slinging it.
They can. Times have changed, but I would argue that it's much the other way around. I think, and, you know, I've got teenage, like, I see these kids much less historically aware. If it didn't happen in the last 4 or 5 years, it is ancient history and completely irrelevant to their lives today.
Okay. Well, we'll just I agree with Terry. I disagree with you.
I mean, hey, do whatever you can to help land a recruit. I don't know that Heupel, I don't know if it matters that much in the big scheme of things. Now, one other recruit on campus, Chandavian Bradley, he is a five-star on 247, the number 29 player in the country, Platte City, Missouri, rush end. And apparently he and Caleb Herring, our other big in-state recruit, who was also a rush in, have kind of hit it off and developed a little bit of a relationship right there. So maybe they're kind of pitching it as a bookend pass rusher type situation for there. But just a ton of talent in town this weekend. And looks like, are we going to have good weather? Weather going to cooperate? Good East Tennessee spring Memorial Day weekend? Oh, yes.
I think it is.
Highs of in the mid to upper 70s tomorrow. Mid 80s on Sunday, not a drop of rain in the forecast. I can deal with that.
That's lake weather.
Oh, yeah. Summer's here. school's out. Football's right around the corner.
Whew. All right. Wrapping up Friday afternoon edition of the show. We appreciate National Law Rex for having us out. As always, stop by and say hello. And if you buy anything, whether it's a prescription medication, something behind the counter, or something over the counter, just your next toothbrush, bottle of aspirin, they've got some fudge stripe cookies, Bear. I'm looking at the,
oh, those things,
the
Keebler incredible
fudge stripes.
I'll still get them occasionally.
Yeah, I got my kid a Sprite. I got Raj a Coke that I have to go pay for.
Dr. Pepper.
To do that. Dr. Pepper. We got the Ananda Professional CBD. That's over the counter as well. Stop by. Let them know you heard us talking about it here on Fan Run Radio. And thanks to Jets Pizza for feeding us this afternoon. If you want to call them for a little delivery tonight while you watch the ball game, 865-675-0505 is your number for Jets Pizza in Farragut, 675-0505. Now, a man who put down his fair share, I think between my kid and Roger, I think they about ate all the pizza.
King Kong versus Godzilla. I mean, that's a heavyweight match right there.
Yeah, that was two growing boys going after it. Roger, good afternoon.
Hey, guys.
Good to see you earlier today.
Yeah, I had a blast seeing y'all that other day. I just want to call in. I mean, I missed asking y'all a question, but I just wanted to say I enjoyed seeing y'all today and honored to be Terry Ferris. That was an honor, so I enjoyed seeing y'all today. So that's what I said at first. I just wanted to ask you a question to you, Russell, and the Bear, and also to the other guy. What's his name again?
Joey.
Jake Roger.
Sorry, my memory's not good. My memory's not good.
Oh, good,
short,
buddy.
So sorry about that. And Jake is why I asked you too, but tonight, but besides Tennessee, Russell, who are you from? Tennessee can go all the way. Do you think Tennessee can go all the way? Play Sunday?
Absolutely, no, they can. They can go all the way. They can win this tournament. And they can win the national championship, Roger. Kind of where I'm at. We settled on this yesterday. Winning the national title for me is the goal. It is not the expectation. I'm not going to be disappointed. I'm not going to declare the season a failure if we don't win the national championship. But it is the goal, and it is an attainable goal. It's like, you know, this year in football, if we were to say to winning the national championship in football this year is our goal, well, I'm sorry, but that's just unrealistic. We are not a national championship caliber football team right now. Now, hopefully that changes over the course of the next 5 years. But this is a national championship caliber baseball program. We have a national championship caliber basketball program. That should always be the goal. It's not the expectation. There's a difference there, a subtle difference. But to answer your question, yes, Raj, I think they're very good, very talented, very well coached. And I expect them to win this tournament. I will say that. I mean, I'd be kind of disappointed if we don't win this thing the way we've been playing. But the College World Series is another thing.
Right. Yeah, I know. And also, Russell, are you pulling for anybody else to win? In terms of South Tennessee, the Vols, not win it, but
I don't know a ton about the other teams in the tournament. I don't know. I hate to say no, but I just don't know really anything about any other teams out there that aren't in the SEC, and I don't want to see any of the SEC teams win, so I hate to dodge your question there right there, but I'd have to say no.
All right. Have a good one.
You too, buddy. Jake, do you guys have any other teams that you like in college baseball?
No, I hate them all.
I don't even have to ask, Bear.
I mean, I'll doubt whether I'll.
Do you have any other baseball teams that you pull for besides the Yankees, or are you just like Yankees or anything, nothing else?
I watch whoever's in like the postseason. I mean, it depends. Like on the weekend, like on Saturdays and Sundays, if I'm like cleaning around the house or.
I'm not asking if you watch it. I'm asking if you pull for anybody, if you root for anybody besides the Yankees.
No. Why would I?
I mean, I've got teams that I pull for. Granted, they're all terrible right now.
So I mean, that will
just not fun for me.
I imagine that will probably change, fellas, when we start seeing guys that played at you know, here in at UT making the majors. Then, yeah, I think that's when it'll start. I mean, I never would have rooted for the Celtics if Grant wasn't up there.
All right, guys, that's going to do it for us. Go Grant, go Vols, go you. You can do it, listener. Thank you for tuning in. Some encouraging words on the way out the door. Thanks to National RX Jets Pizza. Jake, enjoy whatever the heck it is you're doing next week. And come back and talk to us the week after and tell us what you're going to be doing here at Fan Run.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure, guys.
All right, man. Thank you, Jake Miller. Thank you, Bear. Thank you, Marcus Young. Overtime coming up next. Have a great weekend. Hey, Bear and I are going to be talking to you on Twitter Spaces real late tonight after we beat LSU. Yeah, I'm calling the shot. Have a great weekend.
The Drive. Hey, Russell.